Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We are so thankful that you have tuned in. And today we have a very special day, and I just want to say hello first to Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's great. What a great day we're going to have today. We've got one of our heroes is going to be with us, Judge Roy Moore, and also we're going to have Lou Campominosi with us later on. So it's going to be a wonderful day, but as always, Ms. Barbara, we want to start the show off with giving it to God. We know where our blessings flow, and we need him in this conversation today, and every day, really. But if you don't mind, I'm going to turn it over to you, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, thank you. Let's pray together. Father, what a privilege and honor it is to come before you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. What a wonderful opportunity, Father, to make our request known to you today. And our request is, Father, that you be with us. We love you so much. And, Father, we acknowledge that we are inadequate in so many ways, but you are not, Father. You are all perfect, all knowing, all powerful. And, Father, you desire to be with your people and direct us, instruct us, teach us. And, Father, we would ask that you would be with us to do that today, that you would guide our conversation. And, Father, it would be pleasing in your sight. And, Father, that much would be accomplished through it, O God, as you desire. We thank you for our time now, Father. We ask your blessing upon those who are participating in the conversation and those who are listening as well, O Lord. Have your way, O God. We pray this in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Barbara. And just want to ask listeners to please be sure to invite your friends and family to come tune in with us, or really share the podcast. So many people are sharing the podcast, and I believe they're using it as a resource because God has been so good. I just cannot thank him for the caliber of people that he has given us, the good information. Well, they're not good information, Ms. Barbara. They're they're incredible information that, unfortunately, we're not hearing in the news. We're getting little snippets, and we have wonderful people, experts in their fields that, you know, tells us the details that really everybody needs to know. And, of course, City on a Hill, we started this program because of what happened, really, with the Ten Commandments issue in Montgomery, Alabama. We were just really so astounded that really the people did not know the truth about the First Amendment. And so that's one of the reasons we want to educate people, because God says in His Word, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
And
today,
right,
more than ever, we need that knowledge. And I thank God for Judge Roy Moore and the fact that he's gotten Foundation for Moral Law, which is really giving that necessary knowledge so that we can keep our rights. Because if we don't know what we have, wow, it can be taken away, and it is being taken away. So we're so grateful that, Judge Moore, you continue to do that, sir. Just educate America.
Well, thank you, Diana. This is Diana I'm talking to.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
I did more. Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was an excellent discussion, and it is true that we're losing so much, and it is true that because people don't understand, and it is time to awaken. I just got a report this morning of General Boykin. General Boykin was the former military intelligence officer and an original member of Delta Force, and he helped in so many vital areas, a devout Christian. He was scheduled to speak at a prayer breakfast at the United States Military Academy, where I went to school. And the Council on American-Islamic Relationships, CARE, and other anti-group Vote Vets org pitched such a fuss that they had him canceled. Or he voluntarily canceled because the military academy officers and leadership couldn't take the pressure. And I'm just so angry about something like this, because these people don't care about our country. They don't care about our faith. They don't care about our Constitution. And we're allowing people from the outside to come in and do this, and we don't get angry enough
and
do something about it. We need to rise up and realize that the acknowledgement of the Judeo-Christian God, the Christian God that, upon which this nation and Constitution was founded, is not to be denied. And this tolerance, this concept of tolerance, you never tolerate evil. And one of the evils is to let people come in and cause you to deny this God. Now, it's always true that what we believe and what we think is between us and God. So people have a right to believe what they want and worship as they want to. But they have no right to tell us we cannot acknowledge our God in public and in government, because that's what it's founded upon.
That's right.
Anyway.
And Judge, we need to remind our listeners, too, that CARE is the powerful arm, and I would say powerful fist, of the Muslim Brotherhood, who are dedicated to bring down Western civilization from within. And West Point Academy would definitely be from within, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, I just can't imagine from the time I went there. I just don't have a big enough voice right now, but if ever I do, I'll make it heard, because it's just a shame what's happening to our basic institutions. And people think that it won't affect them. It will affect them. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. And if we don't wake up now, our children are going to be struggling with this. Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm just, I'm sorry you caught me at a time where
I'm sorry.
I'm upset about stuff like this.
Well, I would be too, and I agree with you, Judge Mark. We have to really be upset. So many people are doing a fine job of loving their children, being a part of their football and, you know, all these extracurricular, and sometimes they don't realize how important the government is to their family. And I remember reading that somewhere where you have to be careful because the government can become the enemy of your family. And that's why you have to pray for your government. And so I'm right there with you, Judge. And I'm just thinking, if I may go ahead and get into this, the Obamacare. I think people have forgotten, Judge Moore, what that is going to do to this nation. Constitutionally, I know you can explain to us how it is so wrong, but we're like sheep, aren't we? It's almost like a forgotten issue. And, you know, that really has just astounded me at how things are going. If you don't mind, would you remind the people why that Obamacare is so wrong?
Well, there's never
constitutional-wise, sorry.
Yeah, there's never been a right to health care. I mean, that's not a God-given right. And when the state takes it over, it messes it up. It messes up the freedom you have for health care. People think that it's going to provide them so much health care, but they'll be restricted from going to certain doctors. They'll be required under the Constitution to pay for a service, and that's probably the first time or the only time that I know of that the law is going to require somebody to pay for a service. Some may say Social Security is paying for a service, but that's money that you invested. And whether that's right or wrong, we won't argue, but certainly paying for medicals for somebody else is not a part of the constitutional concept. And it has been already stricken down by a federal court, and it's waiting in the United States Supreme Court. But one thing you said, Diana, that, of course, I never said this. I'm saying a lot of things I've never said. But when you said the government can become the enemy of the people, I don't know that the government is not already the enemy of the people. When it denies the faith upon which the Constitution and our country was founded, when it's restricting, it's de-educating our children in some of these schools, teaching them tolerance and diversity, just think of those concepts. Should we praise diversity? We're one nation under God. That's not diverse. That includes all people, black, white, yellow, red. It includes all people. People are one under God, and that's what's supposed to be. You should love your neighbor as yourself, despite what, you know, if he is different than you are, that doesn't mean you shouldn't love. We're one. Diversity is celebrating a division among people. Tolerance. Is tolerance a good concept? We're not to tolerate sin. There is nothing in the Bible, there's nothing in our culture that says we're to tolerate sin. In fact, you're supposed to oppose sin. You're supposed to hate sin. Does that mean you hate people? No. You love people, but you hate the sin. And that's always been the truth. But we've got these concepts sneaking into our school, and the government is mandating the teaching of them. They're approving same-sex marriage. Now, not the United States government yet, but they're trying to get that established across our country, that you could marry somebody of the same sex. Our government is doing a lot that is to destroy this country, and it is against the people. And unless we wake up and speak out like you're doing on this radio program, we're going to lose our country.
Well, Judge Moore, I just heard something in the news yesterday. It was kind of shocking. They were saying that really that divorces are going to help the economy because that means we're going to have more houses. You know, you're going to have two houses versus one. And I'm thinking, am I hearing this right? This is such an upside-down line of thought. You know, it's really shocking that this is going to help the economy.
Well, I mean, continually one shock after another. It's certainly no more shocking the first time you heard of two men getting married. And just think about how long ago that was. That wasn't too many years ago. It was in the 2000, I think, when Massachusetts first approved under their law that two people could get married. And so it's not been very long ago that this whole concept has started of giving rights. Of course, that began way back in the 60s when they gave the right of privacy, which has led to abortion, and it's led to sodomy and the acceptance of sodomy and all these things. It's this right of privacy, not a right of privacy of all. And, you know, it's amazing that the justices of the United States Supreme Court found that in 1965 in the case of Griswold versus Connecticut, when they said that there was emanations from the Bill of Rights which formed a penumbra from which we receive these rights of privacy. Well, you know, they use fancy words, but they're just making up concepts to create something that doesn't exist. And that's the problem, and they're still going at it today. In fact, in most all the states, they're trying to get a right of education in a child, which, you know, most people think, well, that's a good thing. But it's not, because it takes away the right of the parent to educate the child. When they give the right to education to a child, then the state takes over supervision of that right and starts imposing taxes and mandating what they learn. So, you know, all these concepts are to be investigated and discussed in an open, free context. And someday they'll try to stop what you're doing here on the radio.
Oh, yes, Judge Moore. I think we're hearing a little bit of that already. And I think, too, with a lot of these things is taking away man's ability to be able to choose rightly, just like with Obamacare. You know, I just see a day when, and I've heard this before in Europe, you know, where because they're going to have to really parse out health because they won't have the money to provide quality health. So quality health will become a thing of the past. But in Europe, I heard a story where a mother left a child in the hospital, and it was one of those where, unfortunately, they have that social, you know, health care, and come back. You know, that child is no longer there, you know, because they saw fit that, you know, there were things that they can do. And that's what we're doing. We're giving away our rights to make choices. We love our children, our family, and we will make sure that they get the best health care with the money that we have. But definitely taken away from us.
Yeah, and I just think that it's coming. I think maybe our country is awakening in a sense. To a lot of these issues, and that's why we have more and more discussion about them, which is properly so. But certainly these organizations like CARE and Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these organizations that exist to take away the acknowledgement of God should be confronted. And people need to start standing up where they are. As a matter of fact, some are standing up right here in Alabama. I've got noticed this morning that in Jackson County, I think it's up near Scottsboro, a educational board had allowed a individual to give away Bibles for awards, and certain groups came in, Freedom from Religion Foundation, came again and tried to stop it. And they had a meeting, and they came back, and they're still continuing that. So I appreciate people starting to stand up. Of course, that's what I did in the Ten Commandments battle, but it really wasn't about the Ten Commandments. It was about the acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. And I think if we don't stand up for these things, we're going to lose that, and it will impact us immeasurably, adversely.
Yes. We've got to remember that's where the goodness of America comes from. My goodness, God changing the heart of man. So it's not a dog-eat-dog. But, Miss Barbara, I've taken up so much time, so I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you've got some questions. And if Lou on, I just wanted to say hello to Lou.
Yes. I wanted to tell you, and I know that Lou Campomenosi with the Campaign for Common Sense is would love to get in on this conversation and make a comment, or you might have a question for Judge Moore. Lou?
Well, good morning, Judge, and good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Lou. Good
afternoon. Hey, how you doing? I'm going to probably see you on the 11th. I think you're supposed to come back down here to our Sims forum.
Yeah, that's my birthday. I can't forget that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my birthday.
Picking up on what the judge just said, this whole question about the Catholic Church being upset that the conscience clauses are being taken away because of the the legislation that's been passed concerning contraception and abortion pills and all like that. This is another one of these areas where, I mean, frankly, as a Catholic, I'm finally glad to see that the bishops are awakening to this danger. But, I mean, they're the ones that have gone along with Obama in so many ways, and now suddenly it's coming back to bite them. And I'm just glad to hear that last Sunday, the churches finally started to get involved with counteracting this and calling Obama out for what it is. And it's going to be interesting to see whether something like this can spread as another grassroots fire that just makes it very difficult for Obama to continue down the track that he's been going.
Yeah, I think that he's wide open, if you want to put it in common, ordinary terms. He's wide open. He has no inhibitions, and the things that he's doing are waking up people, which is a good thing. You know, in the Bible it says, judgment shall return into righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall see it. And I think that's happening in our country today, that people are starting to look for the standard upon which we were founded. And those are very simple concepts that God gave us our rights, and God created us, and to secure those rights, governments were instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. It's all about what we were founded upon, and we've got to turn back to that. Even the United States Constitution is being undermined at every turn in the three branches of the federal government and in state governments, as a matter of fact. We just don't go by, well, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heat themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. And that's exactly what's happening in our country. Whether people believe the Bible or not is their choice. But when the Bible says it and it's come true, then you ought to take a look at it. It is exactly what is happening today. We're no more interested in sound doctrine. And part of it is because we haven't been taught sound doctrine anymore. About our own government, checks and balances, separation of powers, the first through the Tenth Amendment, the Bill of Rights. I think people have come to a belief that the Constitution gives us our rights. It sounds that way, doesn't it? Bill of Rights.
Right.
But those were prohibitions against the government, more or less, from intruding into these things. And just securing the rights that we already had and that were given to us by God. But perhaps
I think what certainly happened over time is that the educational system has been, dumbed down, and I think it's been deliberately dumbed down, and this business that we've been fighting, this Common Core State Standards Initiative, is another attempt to not only dumb it down, but to force various socialist doctrines onto the school system. It's anti-American. It's all about how bad we are, rather than being a manifestation of the wonderment of our country, the whole idea of a city on the hill like we're talking on this station today. I mean, this argument is now coming to fruition. And what is so terrible about it is that the politicians do not seem to either recognize it, or the ones that do recognize it don't have sufficient voice to make the changes. And that's why I think the Tea Party has been such a healthy dose of sanity and pro-American approaches to various problems, that we have got to nurture the Tea Party as a counterbalance. And you mentioned it a minute ago about balance of power and checks and balances and all like that. Well, it's out of control now, and it's only going to get worse. And I would argue that Obama, and I've said this in our writing and writings in my newsletter, that, you know, he really is the Manchurian candidate. And now he's gone beyond being the Manchurian candidate to where he is just Chavismo-like. They're doing things because they want to do them, and no one's there to check them. And this recess appointment of all the, you know, that terrible czar, the next czar, I mean, that's just another indication of an unconstitutional approach that we seem to be, fearful of dealing with and not calling them out on it, although there are some people who are starting to do it. So I would like you to comment, if you could, on the recess appointment issue and what you think about that.
Well, I think it's clearly wrong. And the appointment for recess, was, as I understand it, was to occur when during a recess a vacancy occurred. He's appointing people to vacancies that occurred long before the recess. And that's one error. And he's abusing the system. It's not the first time Obama's abused the system. I mean, the bombing of Libya is clearly a violation of the Constitution. It's clearly a violation of the War Powers Clause passed in 1973 after Vietnam, in which I fought. They wanted to restrict the unfettered power of the executive, the chief executive, to declare war, to start wars. And here we got the president bombing Libya, and that's very wrong.
Well, let's just hope that we've got some people up there in Washington who are, you know, willing to start at least illuminating the unconstitutional behavior. And I think, you know, certainly we can make a laundry list, but the latest is this example of the recess appointment when they weren't really in recess. They were kept in.
Yeah.
And this is what Harry Reid and George Bush from doing things.
Well, you're talking about he's making appointments when they weren't in recess, and that's true, too. But he's also trying to make appointments that occurred when recess wasn't in effect. It's just one thing after another, Lou, and quite frankly, I don't know that he should not be impeached, and I've been doing some research on that, and I understand the Constitution requires impeachment for high crimes and misdemeanors, and people think that that's just statutory crimes. It's not. It's been exercised in the past, in the history of our country, for many things, and it's basically, as Gerald Ford said during the Congress in regarding William O. Douglas, I believe it was, it's anything the House wants, but certainly constitutional violations are subject to impeachment, and that's just brought about by the House of Representatives. We need to elect people to the House who will take a stand. I think the time is coming in our country when we need to elect people to public office who will stand up for their oath to the Constitution of the United States like they're sworn to do. They've all been sworn that for many years, but all they do is turn their head and afraid to risk the power that they've got to stay in office. They don't want to be criticized. Well, I'll tell you, if you're afraid to be criticized, then you're doing nothing, because if you do something, you're going to be criticized. But we need to take bold moves just like Obama. That's one thing, you know, you got to admire his willingness to do what he believes. Well, that's what Christians need to do. They need to do what they believe and quit cowering down.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Oh.
But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned this impeachment, because after the show is over, try to pull up the Press Register. There was a story in there by George Talbot, who actually was at our Fairhope forum that you participated in last week. And Talbot basically said that both Dean Young and Pete Ream had advocated impeachment. And, you know, he framed this in a way that made it seem like they were kind of Looney Tunes. And yet, you know, reading into another article, Senator Mike Lee is seriously considering the issue of impeachment because of how Obama has just crossed these constitutional lines and yet no one has said anything about them, which is exactly what you just said a minute ago. They are too afraid to be, you know, seen as rocking the boat, you know, and of course the historical nature of Obama's presidency as the first black president and is an issue, because every time we try to raise issues, oh, we're racist and all that baloney. So people are definitely being squelched in their willingness to raise these issues. And that's why I say, once again, the Tea Party is out there leading, you know, trying to bring these issues to the public's attention, and I think we've been successful with it.
I think in Mr. Talbot's article, he wrote something that I said down there, and said, and I still stand by it, that before the Tea Party began, I was fighting the federal government, and that's truth. And I was thinking this morning, how was I fighting the federal government? The federal government is trying to take away one of the most basic rights that our forefathers came to this country for, and that's freedom of conscience, because it was recognized that freedom came from God, and that came clearly out of the Bill for Religious Freedom by Thomas Jefferson. And he said very clearly that it was Almighty God that created the mind free and manifested his supreme will that free it shall remain. And today we're letting them say we cannot acknowledge God because it's a violation of the Constitution. The First Amendment, as Diana mentioned when she started the program and Barbara's talked about, would not exist. The First Amendment religion clauses would not exist without the acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God.
Right.
Now, if there's anybody that wants to dispute that, let them go back to the Bill for Religious Freedom, the Memorial and Remonstrance, the statements made by Madison, Jefferson, Mason, and others, that God was the basis of our freedom of conscience. Even the United States Supreme Court in 1931 and 1946 and U.S. versus McIntosh and Girard versus the United States, respectively, said that very thing, that it comes from the will of God. And yet they're trying to take that away from us.
Yeah,
well,
and they're being successful with that, too. That's the problem.
Yes.
Ms. Barbara, Lou, Ms. Barbara, we had an interview last Wednesday night, one of the first night interviews we did with three pastors, Pastor Tom Anderson and Dothan, Pastor Kerry Gordon of Iowa, and a Pastor Brian Longwood of Personhood USA in Florida, Personhood, Florida. And Ms. Barbara, you did it so beautifully. You talked about the brothers, John and Frederick Muhlenberg. And Joshua Moore, you know, if people just knew their history of the two pastors, and one of them was a signer to the Bill of Rights, he never would have signed off on that Bill of Rights if we were interpreting the First Amendment, you know, the way that we're being told to interpret it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And not only was it Pastor Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg that had one of two signatures on the Bill of Rights, but his brother, being a pastor, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, and their father, Henry Muhlenberg, was a pastor as well. And I dare say it probably goes back for generations. And when we're talking about the First Amendment, I came across something today. Lou, you talked about the Catholic bishops standing up finally against this attack. But in an article written by Bishop of Connecticut, who is he is the chairman of the Committee on Religious Liberty, and he spoke to all the bishops in September of 2011. And I was reading his comments, and I did not know he wrote about this, about the attack of the Department of Justice and why Eric Holder is still there. That is so shameful that he is allowed to remain there. But anyway, not only I knew about the attack on the Defense of Marriage Act, but the Justice Department said that Defense of Marriage Act is motivated by bias and prejudice akin to racism, thereby implying that churches teach that marriages between a man and a woman are guilty of bigotry. Well, basically, we knew this, but this is the part that I did not know. The Department of Justice has also argued before the Supreme Court for the virtual elimination of the First Amendment's ministerial exception, which protects the freedom of religious denominations to choose their own ministers without state interference. Y'all, I was just astounded. This goes back all the way to the Magna Carta in 1215, where it says that, I mean, they're dealing with that very issue, one of the issues in the Magna Carta.
The Supreme Court just overruled that and basically said that the Department of Justice is wrong on that issue of the ministerial ability to choose and pick and all like that. So that's one positive thing that's happened in the past couple of weeks. The holder and them lost on that issue. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
But can you imagine that a United States Attorney General would dare propose that? And
of course I can imagine it. I mean, look what else they're doing.
It's just
to classify as hate crimes anyone who speaks up against homosexuality. I mean, this is going to put these pastors in a tremendously difficult position if they are going to be hauled off to jail for hate crimes, speaking about things which are based on biblical interpretations, and it's all about religion. How in the world is this going to be squared? I don't get this, and yet that's what they're doing. And what you just pointed out in terms of that bishop's article, I wish if you would, get that to Diana and send it to her so she can forward it to me, because I'd like to read that one.
Okay, I will. And there's much more in this also. It's filled with really, really good information. And let me finish with one more quote from Bishop Lori of Connecticut. Because everybody's going to like this one. He said, although religion is personal, it is not private, for there is no religious liberty if we are not free to publicly express our faith. Likewise, there is no freedom of speech if one is free to say what he or she believes only privately, but not publicly through the media, arts, libraries, and schools.
Well
Judge Moore, I just want to, I guess, reiterate, sir, this is why it's so important to have leaders at the helm that really knows the Constitution and follows it. Because, as you were just saying, Ms. Barbara, that's our nation's attorney general. And does he know the Constitution or not, or does he choose to misinterpret it? And it's just really so detrimental to the soul of a nation when we have leaders like that. Judge Moore?
I agree. I mean, talking about the things that are going on, we could talk probably for days about what the government is doing. I mean, they're actually buying imams personalized computers. They're actually supporting mosque buildings around the world, according to the State Department. And everybody knows this up there. And they're doing it and getting away with it. And Obama is pushing an agenda, and I just don't know that it's going to stop. But certainly he doesn't need to be there in office. That's that simple.
I hope we survive till the election and the taking the oath of office of our new president.
Well, if we don't change around, it's not just Obama, though, mind you. I mean, it's both parties in leadership are thinking that getting away from godly standards and getting away from this is an improvement, is somehow what America stands for. It is not. This Constitution would not exist without the acknowledgement of God. The First Amendment wouldn't exist without the acknowledgement of God. And as Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget we're one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. And I agree with him. He knew that to be true. And certainly that's something we're forgetting. But we've got to go back. We've got to go back and look at what our forefathers meant by all these checks and balances and separation of powers and constitutional provisions,
it is amazing, if you go back and study the Constitution, what they intended. Impeachment was one of the powers to check the government and the executive. It was used back in the 1800s. But today, to read the article that was just out of George Talbot, and you'll see what some are afraid to do today. They're afraid to say anything against Obama. When he did that with the bombing of Libya, there's absolutely no excuse for that. It not only violated the War Powers Resolutions, it violated the provision that Congress is there to declare war. And slowly, Republican and Democrat presidents have gotten away from that and invaded other countries and taken actions. But the War Powers Resolution says you can't do it unless the person or property of an American citizen is threatened. Well, in bombing of Libya, there was no threat to the American property or people in America. It's just something
right.
that they wanted to do. And I say he talked to some senators, and that was the end of it. Well, that's not the constitutional process, and everybody in Congress should know that. And those
that's
that did
right.
not do anything about it or take a stand or say, they, you know, they're not very
and
good
Judge
representatives
Moore?
Of the people.
Yes. Judge Moore, you know, we can't even use the cop-out, well, the Senate is controlled by the Democrats because the Constitution says that the House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment. They could have done
House,
it. They chose not
the
to,
House,
and this is a Republican-controlled House.
Right. The House
with
House
Tea Party candidates in there.
Power. Yep. They have the sole power of impeachment. That doesn't – now, the sole power of trying impeachments,
yes.
the trials, is in the Senate.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the second stage of it. Just because a person is impeached doesn't mean he's removed from office. But that power alone has a great power behind it to stop evil conduct. And, you know, when they do that, it's a good thing if you know, it's properly imposed. So we need to go back to an understanding that it's the power of the representatives of the people to do something about it.
Well,
well
sorry.
I don't think that they're
going
to find the will to do it because I think they're so afraid of the liberal press just, you know, howling about the politics of it. This is all political shenanigans. It's all about racism and all like that. They just don't want to deal with that right now. And I think that, you know, if he wins a second term, hopefully he won't, then you may see articles of impeachment coming out of the House simply as a final resort to try to salvage something. But I don't think the Republicans are going to touch this right now. As wrong as that is, you know, that they're just cowed by it. And, you know, like Barbara said a little while ago, you know, hopefully this will be his first and last term. But if it's not, then, you know, all of these constitutional problems that we've discussed, you know, are going to come full fore again. And when they do, hopefully, you know, people will react to it and do what's necessary. But if we don't have the Senate and the House, then Obama is going to take this country down a road that will be almost impossible to recover from because he's going to bankrupt the country first, which is going to create financial and political and social chaos. And then who knows what's going to come out of it?
Hmm. Well, Judge Moore, I hate to let you go, but I know that you've probably got so many things waiting on you to take care of. But we're so grateful, sir, that you came on, and we hope that you'll be able to come on with us again. We, you know, we'd like to hear from you once in a while. I know your schedule doesn't permit it as often as we'd like, but we sure appreciate it, sir.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing, Diana and Barbara and Lou. Appreciate what you're doing with the Common Sense campaign. And unless we do something about it, I know that people that hear radio programs sometimes think, well, it's a bunch of radicals get together and they want to holler and scream and complain about things that don't matter. But these things matter. These things matter dearly to us, as you brought out properly. It's moving so fast now that it's not just our children and our grandchildren who are going to suffer. And if anybody thinks that we're not going to suffer,
not looking at the pace of change. Yeah, hope and change was what Obama promised. We got change, and we don't have hope. That's the problem. And the change we got was not what we expected. And I know a lot of young people that voted for Obama because they were upset at the direction our country was going, and they had a reason to be upset that the direction was going. But, you know, Obama just exacerbated that problem, and we're moving much faster to a socialist nation and a nation that disregards God. And a nation is going to suffer the consequences. So it's not a radical position that we're taking. This is a position that our forefathers, if they were living today, would be up in arms about. They would be gathering, as Patrick Henry and others did, and saying that the time for action is now. We can't wait any longer. And of course, this election, I think, is critical to our country, and I don't know what's going to come of it, but it's time that those in the Republican Party who believe in conservative social values stand up, and one of the biggest fights is going to be in the Republican Party, because there's a lot in the Republican Party that do not hold a principle. And I'd like to just finish with what George Washington said in his farewell address, if I can remember it. He said, "Toward the preservation of your government and the permanency of your present happy state, it is requisite not only that you steadily discountenance irregular oppositions to its acknowledged authority," speaking of the Constitution, "but also that you resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles, however spacious the pretext." We've got a lot of spacious pretexts, attractive enticements to disregard the Constitution. The health care bill is one. That's just one. The bombing of Libya was another. Over and over, we're getting spacious pretexts. In other words, attractive reasons to do something that the Constitution doesn't allow. And there was a reason for that disallowance. It's because when you start, it ends up in a permanent evil. That's what Washington said. The precedent must always greatly overbalance in permanent evil any partial or transient benefit which the use could at any time yield. In other words, it may seem like a good thing, but it'll always end up a permanent evil which you cannot live with. And we're about to that stage right now. We can't live with having our rights and freedoms taken from us. When children can't even pray in school because it offends one family in the whole school who's motivated by the ACLU or the Southern Poverty Law Center or Freedom from Religion Foundation, that is wrong. And we're having our rights taken from us right under our eyes. So thank you very much.
Well, Judge Moore, I just want to tell you some good news. A friend of yours, Luca Bochy, that you're on, is thinking about coming to the United States. So I'm sure he's going to be trying to look you up and hopefully reminding America which way they're heading. We need to get to reality. They're suffering in Europe. So thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Take care, Judge. See you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Judge Moore.
Thank you, Liz. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Miss Barbara, yeah, that was some news I just got from an email. Lou, Miss Barbara, we've gotten to know Luca Bochy from Tea Party Italia. And he has shared with us some shocking things, of course, that's going on in Europe. And so he's coming. He's coming, and we hope you'll get to meet him, too. So, but anyway, he's going to remind us. Over there, he was saying their tax, the true rate is what, Miss Barbara, 70%?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think we want that.
Send me his email so I can get in touch with him, and we'll try to, bring him wherever he's going to be. We'll try to hold a rally with him and, let him speak.
We would love that.
He's a tremendous speaker, too. I call him the Italian Patrick Henry.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think, you know, he really shocked us.
Patrick Henry, what's going on here?
So he's going to be on next week with the Patriot Pastor Lear. They're both Italian.
Oh,
so, of Italian descent anyway. But I think, you know, that's one of the things that Luca will do. I think he'll shock us into reality for people that think, oh, no, that's a lot of hogwash. We're not moving into socialism. Well, we better wake up because, you know, Europe, that is the turmoil there. The fear of their economies is real, you know, and I think a lot of people, Lou, they have just really forgotten Obamacare and what's coming up. But I know a lot of elderly people that's having to struggle with getting their medicines. I think they're seeing a little bit of that because they're not able to get some of their old medicines that work. And I know, Miss Barbara, you know, we're talking with Grace Marie about that. That's one of the repercussions. That's just a little particle of what is coming ahead.
Well, I gave a talk yesterday at a senior center in Theodore, and I asked them if they're having problems getting to see doctors. And they all, I'd say at least 50% of them, you know, raised their hand, yes. And it's not surprising. I mean, Obama took $500 billion out of the Medicaid budget in order to pay for, you know, portions of Obamacare. So immediately you've got a crisis there. Then on top of this, there's this thing called the doctor fix, which every year they go through this charade of trying to figure out how they're going to pay the doctors for the additional amount of money that's necessary for to meet the Medicare, you know, payments. And so, you know, that's like $216 billion, I think, and they're still fooling around with that. So it's not surprising that the seniors who are on Medicare are starting to have an issue about being seen by doctors, you know, just saying nothing about, you know, the drugs and all the rest of that stuff. But here's the thing. Once again, this 2,000-plus page document that is called Obamacare has within it, and I know that you've had experts on there, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but nevertheless, there is, you know, the fact that you have so much stuff that's embedded in this document that has very little to do with, you know, health care, but a lot to do with paying for it via these hidden taxes. And here's one that we just discovered again the other day. You know, I think in 2013, if you sell your house, you have to pay a 2.7% tax on that, and it also has to be in conformity with these EPA rules. Now, guess what? Do you know what 2.7% of a $200,000 house is? That's not cheap. That is extremely expensive in terms of trying to, you know, sell your house and make some money off of it, but now we have to pay, you know, a 2.7% tax in order to fund Obamacare. And again, the only way that we're finding this stuff out is as sort of like Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill in order to see what's in it. Well, isn't that just wonderful? I mean, I would prefer having some sort of a system where we knew ahead of time so that we could say, oh, wait, this is not so good. Let's get that out. This is where I really disagree with our Republicans today. They say that they are opposed to it, and yet they are not willing every week to put a bill up there and say, this is a repeal of Obamacare, and make it an issue. What is wrong with these people?
Something is wrong, because I know that some of the candidates are starting to back away from that. It really shocks me. I think three out of the four that's running has just about, they're tiptoeing around Obamacare again as if, oh, well, I don't know that we can do this, get rid of it. And I'm thinking, they must. There is no
well,
two
I think
way
what
about
happened
it.
In the primary, you've got so many seniors down there that they're afraid to go out and say anything that even suggests that Medicare is in danger, okay? And again, if you remember just a few months ago when we went through this big hoorah where the Democrats put on all of those ads showing somebody that looked like Paul Ryan pushing grandma over the cliff. I mean, this is what you're dealing with, and that is a major problem in terms of trying to come up with a reasonable solution to the very real financial issues associated with Medicare. There has to be entitlement reform. But if no one is willing to step out because of exactly what happened to Paul Ryan, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, we can't go through this. I think, you know, the fact is I think Medicare is starting to hit bankruptcy in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, okay? But even if it's if I'm all on the date, I'm not off by much. But the fact of the matter is we can't have a reasonable conversation about it because the Democrats basically demagogue the issue. They don't want it to change. All they want to do is to control more and more of our lives, and Medicare is one way to do it, you know? And I think that this is why I'm hoping that the Republican field will start looking into the issue and at least addressing it in terms. I know that Romney has said he will repeal Obamacare. Now, the problem he has is that, you know, people say that Obamacare is basically modeled on Romney Care from Massachusetts. So how hard is it going to be for him to argue with Obama about this? I mean, he did make some points in one of the Florida debates that there were some differences in terms of Romney Care and Obamacare. But those differences may very well seem to be on the margin rather than as central to the argument that we've got to drop it. But, I mean, you know, I think Gingrich and Santorum and Ron Paul as well as Romney will fight to get rid of Obamacare. It's just that in Florida, it's the third rail of American politics. They didn't want to risk it. So there you are.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, one of the things I know that Ms. Barbara is thinking and has mentioned it to me is, wait a second, who was the head of this? Who was the CEO of this? And so what kind of leadership are we going to be seeing? And one of the things that hasn't been brought out that much, Lou, is for us here in conservative South, we don't want our governor doing what Romney did when he was a governor, which is an illegal directive to his Department of Health to issue same-sex marriage licenses. I mean, people are not talking about that. And for us here in the South, I think, I know it wasn't mentioned in Florida. I think if they knew that, I think that would have been a very important, but that's why we've got to go past just the ads, right, Ms. Barbara? We really have to look behind the candidates.
And, Diana, I think, although I have not researched this, and perhaps you know, Lou, I think that as a result of Romney's governing of Massachusetts during that time, I think one of the repercussions of it was the closing down of the Catholic adoption agencies there, which serves, it's the largest adoption provider,
right,
not only in Massachusetts, but in the entire country. And because they refused to place children in homes where there were same-sex couples, they had to close their doors. And as a result of that, thousands, if not tens of thousands, of children who needed good two-parent homes of
right,
a father and a mother have been denied that necessity, you know. And I believe that goes together. You know, the other thing with the Obamacare, as part of the Obamacare, is that Obama administration new rule, this radical new rule that that require all institutions, Catholic included, to cover abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, contraception, all free of charge. And so Catholic schools, hospitals, universities, and charities that oppose those things, they're going to have to fight this, which, praise God, they are rallying to fight now. But or close their doors. And Catholic hospitals compose one-third of
right,
the medical facilities in this country.
Well, my understanding on that is I can't speak to the Massachusetts issue about closing on things, but the national question is very much alive in terms of this issue of adoptions. And I've read things where that's exactly what is happening because there's so much pressure to conform to the gay rights agenda, that this is what's actually taking place. But, you know, part of all of this, too, goes back to this whole issue of the conscience clause that has always been attendant to various conflicts over, the religious conscience versus the secular state. And what Obama has, it is absolutely amazing. It's amazing on several levels, okay? But the biggest thing in terms of, it's not amazing in terms of his philosophy because they don't care about the religious conscience. But what's amazing from a political standpoint, he got so many Catholic votes last time, he's deliberately provoking a political fight over an issue which did not necessarily have to be provoked, because he even told the bishop in New York that he would work with them to make sure that the Health and Human Services people would not provide or provoke a fight about this. And so the fight has been provoked. And now he's telling the Catholic bishops that, well, we're going to do this for a year, and we'll try to see if we can't resolve it. Okay, so he's kicking the can down the road to resolve it. The simple resolution is he tells, Sebelius at HHS to stop doing it. Change the legislation, change the rules. They're not doing it. And so this sort of speaks once again to the ultimate radical nature of Obama and what he's doing. And the judge was absolutely right to talk about this in terms of a threat to the First Amendment. And you mentioned it earlier about Holder and this whole business of the ministerial, positions. Thank goodness the Supreme Court threw it out. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a 9-0 vote, which is absolutely amazing given the liberals that they have on there. But they even recognized the truth that they couldn't get away from. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Amen.
Archbishop Dolan, in talking about the 1 year to work with them, his quote was, in effect, the president is saying we have a year to figure out how to violate our consciences.
Right, exactly.
So,
until after the election. Let's give it time until after the election and then forget that.
There you go.
Okay.
That's right, Diana.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. We really don't want to finish because we've got so many things, Lou, that we'd love to talk to you about. But I think I just want to ask the listeners, at this time, I think there's a lot of fear mongering going out there, Lou, and I feel like it is mainstream media too. We're like, sheeple. But I think to myself, if we here in the Bible Belt, we know what God's Word says.
Right.
It says He has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So I just pray that the listeners, study the candidates. We didn't do that in the last election. The majority of Americans, I think, just heard the words and went by the promises. And we're getting a lot of promises from these candidates. But if you look at the record, because, again, the Bible is very clear. He says, by his fruits you shall know them. So I just recommend don't have a spirit of fear, as God says. Study the fruits of their work, and it will be a no-brainer. Who should be up there? Because you know what? Hey, God said with him, all things are possible. Now, we can go our own little way, like we've been doing, and look at where we're at, or we can try it God's way, just like the founders did. They experienced tyranny. They didn't think they were going to make it. And by all accounts, really, they should have lost. But guess who was in the background? And we're at that point. We don't need to forget the Father who has big enough arms, big enough resources to make things happen. With that in mind, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to ask Lou if he doesn't mind. Lou, if you've got some closing thoughts.
Diana.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I just had to say this. I was thinking, it's almost, there are so many issues in all directions, the EPA, the Justice Department, Obamacare, education, the military situation, all of these different things. It's almost as if we need to have committees to really go on the offense. First of all, to gather together all the research that has been done on these issues. It's like we're all talking about all these issues, but maybe if we narrowed this down to some committees, and then I thought, committees, well, that sounds familiar. Going back to the early early days in our country, I mean, there were so many committees, and so many of our illustrious founding fathers were members on those committees. I think about the Reverend Dr. John Witherspoon, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, but he was on so many committees. But is that a possibility? I know we're not highly organized as a Tea Party, but is that a possibility, Lou? And could we look at that? Or maybe it's being done and I'm just not on one of those committees, in which case I want to be on one of those committees. What do you think?
Well, the short answer is that our Tea Party is, in fact, doing that. We have committees on Agenda 21. We have the committees on insurance. We have a committee on immigration. We've got a committee that's doing work on education. That's the one I'm most involved with. So, yes, and the intent is to have, you know, our committees to be able to go forward and find their results and get them out to our membership and broader, you know, a broader reach by publicizing and publishing their findings through the Tea Party network throughout the state. Now, I can't speak to the rest of the Tea Parties, but I would imagine that each of these Tea Parties, like Rainy Day Patriots and all the rest of them, they probably are organized along the same way, doing the same things, because there's such a hunger for information. But as you mentioned a little while ago, there's an overload of information, too, because there's so much going on, and it's very difficult to keep track of it and sort it out.
Yeah.
And so what we've pretty much, you know, come to the conclusion that we have to prioritize what's important, get that information together, and then publicize it as best we can.
Hmm. Good. Good. I'm glad that we're doing it here in Alabama, and I think it's I think it's necessary.
I think we need to do it
locally.
You know, in fact, while I have you all on the phone now, you know, we have our Welcome Back rally next Tuesday at 11 o'clock, and we've got a great lineup of speakers. You should have gotten a flyer on that. Do you remember seeing it, Diana? Did it come to you?
Where is that, Lou? I'm in Texas right now, so.
Okay. It's in Montgomery next week. Are you going to be around?
I'm not, but Ms. Barbara?
Perhaps we can get a group from Dothan.
You should
we'll try to get there. It's Tuesday at
11 o'clock. I'll send you the information, okay?
Okay.
All right, because we've got a bus that's going from up here in Spanish Ford, and I think we've got 30 on it right now. We're hoping to get more. But the bottom line is, you know, you asked me to kind of give us a quick summary. Let me just suggest that the Tea Party is in the fight, and if it wasn't for the Tea Party in this fight, we would be far worse off than we are today. So I would urge all of the listeners, if they are unhappy with, you know, the Republican Party because it's not conservative enough, then get involved. Take over that party from inside out and make it more conservative and do what's necessary for us to, you know, recover our country from the grips of these radicals who are in Washington who hate this country, they're anti-American, and by God, we are going to stop them.
Good.
Wow. Well,
good. I agree 100%. Hey, Lou, one last question before you give your closing comments and prayer. You know, we have an open primary, which allows, just like what happened in New Hampshire,
right.
They didn't have a closed primary, and about half of the people that voted were not Republicans voting in the Republican primary.
Right.
And we saw this happen in our governor's race before, and nothing has been done within the Republican Party, and I have kept asking about it, but apparently it has to come through the state committee. So that, I think that's going to be one of the an issue we need to take on also.
Well,
the
people that we've talked to say that there's a great deal of support for the closed primary. The problem that they're going to run into is that because of the Voting Rights Act, anything that pertains to, you know, voting has to be approved by the Justice Department. Now, my feeling is it's all well and good, but this is a party. This isn't, you know, something that the Justice Department should have any kind of say-so in, particularly since you see closed primaries in other states that are under it. But the bottom line is, to do it. And that's the pressure that we're trying to put on them to get them to actually do it, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you can't make it happen unless you try. You're not going to win any battles unless you fight.
Exactly. You know, why give up before you even, you know, put something out there?
Really? Really?
It is.
Oh, and one last thing, Lou.
Yes.
I need your physical address. I'm going to send you this entire article by the chairman of the United States Bishops. My husband is
I'll send you an email with it. I don't really want to put it out on the net, okay?
Right. Just email it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right.
Well, get it to me somehow.
I'll send it to you just as soon as we finish here.
Okay.
Well, Lou, we've got so much to cover. I wish we could keep you for another day, Lou. But you know what? Tomorrow, Ms. Alois is coming on. She's going to be talking about the immigration policy. And, Ms. Barbara, you can bring that up to her, too. You know, that does need to be taken care of. It seems like we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Haven't we seen that before in the past again?
To speak at the Welcome Back Rally on immigration next week. So I'm happy to hear that she's going to give a more, you know, complete discussion of it with you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going to teach us. All right. Well, Lou, I just think, you know, so many times in history, God raises up people to help and really make a huge difference. We've seen that as Bible, people that read the Bible, we know about the story of Esther. And we know about the story of David. So, you know, I just pray that people will get down on their knees and ask God for mercy and help. But it begins with repentance, because unfortunately I think, you know, we have gotten too soft, too comfortable. And I hate to say it, many of our pastors have gotten too soft and too comfortable. And I pray they'll open their eyes and feel sorry for us. You know, the parents that have children, grandchildren, our hearts are bleeding because we have heard what's coming. We've seen what California is suffering already. Parents in torture. We hear of a story, and I like to play it, David Parker. When Massachusetts passed same-sex marriage, what happened? He was in shock. And you know what? They told him, you can't opt your child out, your kindergartner now, from homosexual indoctrination, because he said, this is just part of teaching about a family.
Right.
So, parents, people, if you love children, we need to get informed. We need to go to God and ask Him for forgiveness, because what is it? If you know to do good but don't do it, it's a sin. And I think, I hate to say it, so many pastors are doing that, because in their churches are so many votes. I mean, if the Christian church just voted right, we wouldn't have a problem, would we, Lou?
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully they will vote right this time around.
Well, I'll turn it over to you, Lou.
Well, you know, as I said a little while ago, the Tea Party is in this fight, and then we are going to keep it up. And certainly with people like you and Barbara doing this, it is extremely helpful to get this message out. And I would just urge all the listeners to get themselves involved in some way. Each person has a circle of influence. And if you will just take time to get your family and your friends involved in these critical issues of the day, then we can, in fact, just mobilize our people to have the impact that's necessary to make sure that we can restore our country to the values that we believe in and that are not believed in by these radical socialists led by who has got to go as quickly as we can get him out of there.
Amen. Well, Lou, we thank you. And, Lou, if you don't mind, tell the listeners your website.
Yes, you can find us at www.commonsensecampaign.org. It's commonsensecampaign.org. Can't miss it.
Well, Lou, we thank God for your work. Go to their website. It's an amazing website, and I looked at it the other day, and it's just really friendly. I see where y'all are.
We're going to have some candidate vetting sessions that we're going to be posting. We vetted the Public Service Commission folks who are running for president. We vetted the two candidates for the school board down here, the Board of Education, and we're getting ready to start doing the congressional debate. So we're involved in trying to bring, you know, a much more detailed discovery process to who these candidates are so that our voters will have a better opportunity to make a reasoned decision rather than one that's just based on these 30-second ads.
Oh, Lou, and I just think so, too, that the churches don't realize there's a lot of things that you can do that is not against the law to get information to your congregation about who's running in their positions. Go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv, and we'll let you download and make copies for your congregation of this information from Liberty Council. It's so, it's such an amazing summary, but it will empower you because, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge of what the people, what the Bible says, and I think that's what's happening today. But, oh, we thank God for the tea parties. And if you don't mind, Lou, I'm going to pray over the tea parties and really what's going on and ask God to bless your efforts, Lou. So if you don't mind, just join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for you are a good God and nothing is hard for you. And, Lord, as in the days of past, Lord, you heard the plea of your people, just as Lord, you let Moses lead your people out of slavery. Lord, I feel like we are there again. A lot of people don't even realize they are under slavery, but they are, Lord. Lord, the mind has been so taken over, Lord, by the mainstream media that they no longer see truth for what it is. They consider evil as good. And, Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us and that you'll help us. We pray that you'll bless the tea parties and all those like them, Lord, that's trying to wake up the people in their community to see what's before them, the danger, Lord, that's coming to the families, Lord. No one is exempt, Lord. So many people out of work, and it has become a dog-eat-dog even in their homes, Lord. We're not there. We don't hear the cries of the little children that hears their parents, Lord, in trouble, marriages in trouble, because their finances, Lord, is desperately in trouble. So right now, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, our pastors would open their eyes and extend out of love and kindness, Lord. I want, Lord, to share the truth about the leaders, the so-called leaders of this nation and the positions that these candidates are taken and their record, Lord, it is there for us to view it. Lord, we just thank you for Lou and all those with him, Lord. We pray for your blessings upon him. Open the door, Lord. And, Lord, let the people see, Lord, that there is help for them. But, Lord, they have to unite. They have to go to work because, Lord, that's what it takes is all of us standing in the gap, Lord, for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Barbara. It's good talking to both of you today.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Lou.
I bless you.
We'll have you on again. Thank you.
Okay.
And the listeners, we ask that you share this podcast. Go to www.cityonhill.tv. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.